new congressional lines become the new battle line. Republicans reveal a plan to reshuffle Texas voters by changing district boundaries in hopes of turning some Democrat seats Republican and helping the party hold on to a slim majority in the U.S. House of Representatives. Texas Democrats now embracing an escalation by blue states to do the same thing.
If one side decides to launch nukes, you cannot simply say we won't respond.
Will the Texas effort touch off a national redistricting arms race? A Republican congresswoman weighs in on that.
And that's problematic. I don't mind having competitive districts. I think it gets you stronger representatives.
And with so much focus on redistricting, what are lawmakers getting done on the urgent need for better flood warnings in Texas? The latest on it all, right now on Inside Texas Politics.
Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley starts now.
And good morning, everybody. I'm Jason Wheeler in for Jason Whiteley this week on a momentous week in Texas politics because the map is out and the fight is on now. State Republicans met the demand of President Trump and unveiled an unusually timed redraw of Texas congressional districts. They just made a new map in 2021, normally these last 10 years, but midterm elections are coming and those usually don't favor the governing party in D.C. So to protect their slim majority in the U.S. House, Texas Republicans are trying to spread voters out differently here and possibly flip 5 Democratic seats to Republicans in next year's congressional elections. Lawmakers in Austin still need to address those better warning systems for flooding in Texas. After flooding in Central Texas last month killed 137 people, many of them children. Lawmakers this week questioned Kerr County officials about their flood response. The county emergency management director saying that his supervisors knew he had been out sick, missing preparation meetings with the state leading up to those floods. By the time he was awakened the day of the flooding and started coordinating the response, other county officials say that summer camps along the Guadalupe River were already underwater. More than 3 years after the mass shooting at Robb Elementary in Uvalde, we could soon learn more about the shooter and the response, including law enforcement failures that caused hundreds of officers to wait more than an hour to go into the classroom where 19 young students and 2 teachers were massacred. Following lawsuits by media organizations, Uvalde County and the school district there have agreed to release their records now, but DPS is still fighting to keep its records out of the public eye. And now to that redistricting fight that's made Texas the talk of the nation. Republicans pressing an unusual mid-decade redraw of congressional boundaries here, moving Texas voters around on a new map in hopes of flipping 5 Democratic seats in what could be an otherwise tough midterm election for Republicans next year. Democrats can hold off a vote on that map by leaving the state, but for how long could they do that? We spoke with the chair of the Texas Democratic Caucus, Representative Gene Wu of District 137 in Houston, about the nuclear option of leaving the legislature. If you did get enough Democrats to leave the state to break quorum, to not have enough people to vote in the House, wouldn't that only drag it out? I mean, the governor could call multiple special sessions. How long, you know, conceivably, again, I'm not asking you to reveal any plans, how long conceivably could Democrats stay away?
I mean, I don't know how you want me to answer that, because you're asking us, what are you willing to do to defend our nation? What are you willing to do to save the last remnants of the public's power, the public's voice? Once they're able to do this, once they can say, like, we don't care who our voters are, we can always find a way to cheat and win. Once that happens, the rest of everything else doesn't matter anymore. Because why would they ever care what you say? Why would they ever care what you want ever again? They already don't care now. Tons of people called in to complain about what the Republicans are doing in their own districts, their own supporters and voters. And they still did it anyways. And this is going to keep happening. It's going to get worse. If we don't stand up, if the people in this country do not stand up against it, then it's done.
Of course, there's this new rule that says that each member could be fined $500 a day for being absent. Did the rough math on that. That's $25,500 per day. That's pretty steep.
We don't do this. We don't take on any of the stuff. We're not making these decisions lightly. And members understand what sacrifices and what pain what they have in store. But as we keep talking about within among ourselves, is that whatever pain that we will feel, whatever sacrifice that we will make, it is nothing in comparison to the pain that Americans will feel and Texans will feel across this nation if the voice of working class people no longer matter. If they can just simply do whatever their bosses tell them to do every single time and our voices don't count, this is so far outside the norm. This is very much extraordinary. And what it is at the end of the day, this is cheating. This is cheating when you know that you're going to lose. And that's exactly what's happening. And
when you say when you know you're going to lose, you're saying that Republicans are fearing that they're going to lose the U.S. House of Representatives in the next election cycle. And so they're trying to goose the numbers here.
No, wait. They're not fearing they're going to lose seats. They know they will lose seats because they know how wildly unpopular their positions are.
So in this special session, Republicans put redistricting first on the agenda in front of flood warning improvements, even after what happened in the Texas Hill Country. Wouldn't they be able to possibly turn that around on Democrats?
We know that Greg Abbott could fund the entirety of what Kerrville is asking for the whole state from his own discretionary funds for this very purpose today. But he's not going to, because the whole point is to use this tragedy, use the deaths of these hundreds of Texans and these children, to use it as a cover to force Democrats to be here, to force people to pass these laws that only benefit themselves, that only help them and their buddies.
Representative Wu, Democrats in big blue states like New York and California and Illinois have been threatening basically do their own redistricting. Given the criticism that Democrats have had for Republicans doing this, you know, calling it cheating, is it the best idea to do the same thing?
We have said that racial gerrymandering, political gerrymandering should be illegal. And all these blue states have created commissions and doing all these things to do that. And we have, you know, in not so many words, you know, unilaterally disarmed while the Republicans are continuing to do this. And we're saying we don't want to do this. I would tell states, okay, this is not something that we should be doing. But if we don't have a choice, if one side decides to launch nukes, you cannot simply say we won't respond. That is not a viable option. To say we are being attacked, we're going to be destroyed, and we just won't respond.
All right, so that sort of sets the table for our roundtable discussion to talk about the politics of this, and there's a lot to talk about there. This week we've got Bradford William Davis, a columnist at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram who writes about politics and culture. His first time here on Inside Texas Politics, welcome. We've also got Ashley Godot, the political director at KVU in Austin, and Ian Mitra from the Texas Tribune. I feel like all I need to say to you all is redistricting. There's so many threads to pull on this. Bradford, you've seen these maps. You've seen the battle forming this week. What stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is inevitable, unfortunately. Like, we just saw this in Tarrant County, where I cover politics and culture, as you mentioned, where it was where there were a lot of voters who expressed their concerns, but yet the Tarrant County judge did not care. So Democrats, I think, have to be proactive about this. They have to think of two things. One, running rigorous competitive primaries. They cannot assume that just because a candidate won previous elections that they will continue to win elections in their district, especially if the electorate has changed. They have to try and beta test and find the best person for the job. Second is they have to turn out a different electorate, frankly, especially in some of these maps that have swung wildly in the other direction. That means finding people who are not triple prime voters, the people who volunteer, you know, for campaigns and at the polls and wake up early in the morning and then go vote. They need to go find people who are on their couches, who, you know, would maybe favor their policies, but just don't feel motivated enough. And they have to make a case, a competitive case, a real case, that they're going to make their lives better enough so that they're motivated to go out and vote.
Ashley, you've been speaking with a lot of people in Austin. What are your thoughts?
You know, I've talked to lawmakers in Austin who feel like maybe what we've seen, the proposed map, isn't going to be the final map. But, I mean, that's still up for debate. What it does to Travis County, though, is it takes a good chunk of blue voters and just nullifies their votes, right? It turns a blue district into a red district. And, you know, I mean, that's what they wanted to get done. Republicans wanted to get done, and it seems like they're going to do it.
So, Ian, we've seen this map. Is that going to change as the days go by here? Are we going to see some changes in these contours?
It very well could. You know, the goal always here with Republicans was to create opportunities for five pickups, you know, and that's, there's opportunities there, but not certainty. And so there could be tweaks here along the ways too. And just really quickly, you know, we've had multiple hearings around these, around redistricting before we even had maps. And one thing that is getting lost all of this too, in terms of just kind of like serving the public, is constituent services too. And we heard that a lot in these committee hearings too, about just like what's being lost in terms of potential services to actually serve the constituents that you represent.
All right, we've got more roundtable to come here in just a bit.
Still ahead, we talk with a Texas representative just back from New Mexico. Why he was there as the high-stakes redistricting battle was playing out here in Texas. And later, a Republican congresswoman from North Texas weighs in on a redistricting arms race and democracy. Much more still ahead on Inside Texas Politics.
Welcome back. More on what else? Texas redistricting. It is the political story of the week, after all, here and across the whole country. Republicans already hold 25 of this state's 38 congressional seats, and now they think they may be able to get 30 of the 38. Democrats, long in the minority in the legislature, have few options to stop state Republicans from getting their way. Still, the party insists it's ready to fight and to focus. Here's Representative Salman Bojani, the Democrat, representing District 92 in North Texas. What is the mood in the Democratic Party here in Texas right now?
I mean, we're ready for a fight, right? We always know how to fight because we're in the minority party, and we're fighting to get more allies on our side and to see. And I was there at the redistricting hearing in Arlington, close to my district, and the energy was so much. There was so much energy. There were people just there to speak their mind and let us know that it's so important not to focus on gerrymandering districts that are racially motivated, but on flooding. And that's what we heard loud and clear from them.
Let me ask you about this. As all of this was playing out, this redistricting fight was beginning here in Texas. You were in New Mexico. Can you explain what you were doing there and what you gained from that?
Sure. So we went for multiple reasons to meet Governor Lujan Grisham. Number one was learning from them how they're dealing with Trump's tax cuts. The big ugly bill that came out is shorting Texans and Americans millions and millions of dollars in healthcare, millions and millions of dollars in food benefits, and costing us so many jobs. And so I wanted to find out how Governor Lujan Grisham is dealing with that. The second thing we wanted to make sure is finding allies and sounding the alarm of how the redistricting process in Texas is going to affect the entire country.
And what kind of response did you get on that?
Yeah, I mean, she's supportive, and you know, we've had great conversations, and I think she's willing to sound the alarm and continue with her fight. And we need as many allies as possible because this is not just a Texas fight, and I think that's something that we're sounding the alarm for everywhere.
Is there anything tangible she can do for you, though, here in Texas?
I think the third reason is more tangible, right? So the third reason we went to her was to learn from the flooding that happened in Ruidoso.
Mm-hmm. They've had some terrible floods.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So we wanted to learn from her how her leadership has impacted the flooding and saved New Mexicans.
And so, what was the takeaway for you on that issue?
Yeah, so what basically, she said that last session, last year, they had a special session when the flooding happened, and there was only one item on the agenda, how to provide relief for the victims of flooding. There was a bill filed, there was a bill that passed, and the special session ended. That's good leadership, when she was able to focus on one issue at hand and actually do that, as opposed to playing politics and party games.
There are a lot of Democrats and some independents have been angry at Democrats, Democratic leaders, saying you're not doing enough to push back. They've been opposed to some policies at the national level, maybe the state level, and they just feel like Democratic leaders haven't been doing enough. Does that stiffen your spine here now for this fight over redistricting, and are we likely to see a much more aggressive approach now?
I think we're putting all the options on the table, and trying to pull every lever that we can in order to fight for constituents, right? Because that's what our goal is. We don't answer to President Trump. We don't answer to Governor Abbott. We answer to our constituents. So Democrats are focusing on lives on the line as opposed to Republicans are focusing on lines on the map. And so it's really important to continue to focus on.
As Texas Republicans move forward with their controversial plan to manipulate maps to tilt several of those Democratic congressional seats in their favor in next year's elections, we reached out to the top Republican in the state working on the effort but didn't hear back. So we're going to keep trying for that. In the meantime, the viewpoint of one Republican congresswoman from Texas about the whole notion of politically safe seats. Here's Representative Beth Van Dyne from the 24th Congressional District in North Texas. You know very well how powerful redistricting can be, too, because your district was redistricted the last time around in 2021. You won your first election before that by a little more than a percentage point. Yeah. The two elections since then, you've blown it out by 20 points each time. Do you worry in a case like this that your safe red district will not be as safe going forward?
You know, I don't ever look at a district as being safe. You know, I never do.
Smart.
I look at, you know, when people say you're campaigning all the time, it's your job. You should be out and about. You should be talking to businesses. You should be talking to constituents. You should be having roundtables, doing tours, going to the chambers, you know, meeting with people. That's my job. So I have never really looked at the lines of my district.
Now, Democrats are calling this a blatant gerrymander. They say it's a power grab to draw the maps in the middle of a game when we normally wouldn't, so that you can create more safe Republican seats. They say the GOP is doing this because the party is worried that the Republican agenda, the Trump agenda in the first part of his presidency here is unpopular and that that might create a blue wave come the midterms. What do you say to that?
I say, you know, Democrats, whenever you have an opportunity to do this, you do. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Look at what they did in Illinois. Every opportunity they had to be able to flip a red district blue, they did.
You know, if we see this escalation, I mean, you know, do we get to a point where, you know, some states are redistricting every, you know, every congressional election, every other congressional election? Ultimately, if we get a lot more safe blue districts and safe red districts where the other party doesn't stand a chance in an election, what does that do to voter choice, and is that good for democracy?
You know, as far as whether or not you've got safe blue districts or safe red district, there's never a safe district. If you've got a majority Republican district, you are always going to face, you know, challenges in a primary. You know, the concern
is... But a lot
of
these are decided in the primary.
Potentially, potentially. But, you know, and that's problematic. I don't mind having competitive districts. I think it gets you stronger representatives. You have to win in a primary and you have to win in a general.
Let me talk to you about this job fair. It's the 2025 version of the North Texas job fair. You started this in 2021. We were thick in the pandemic. You started it out. It was overwhelming response in that first year. And now it has just grown by leaps and bounds even beyond that.
So the first year we had about 6,000 people come. We had about 250 businesses that participated. Now we've more than doubled the number of businesses that are participating. Last year we had 25,000 people that came, and about 30% were $100,000 and above jobs. This is the largest independent job fair in the country.
Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne from District 24 here in North Texas, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
All right, still ahead, the Reporters Roundtable discussing what has been a momentous week in Texas politics. Time now again for our Reporters Roundtable. We've got Ian Mitra from the Texas Tribune. We've got Ashley Godot from KVU in Austin and Bradford William Davis from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. All of you, we saw some hearings this week, at least, on the Texas floods that were that happened a month ago now. Of course, in Austin, all of the talk has been about redistricting, though. Ian, has flooding been sort of pushed to the side here? Are we going to see action on that quickly?
There's been recent committee hearings where they've heard testimony from from people about the flood and learn more about the emergency response, or in some cases the improper response or lack of response around the flooding. You know, the delays in around kind of moving legislation are going to impact the scope of what happens around flooding too. We'll still probably see legislation around emergency responses on a broader level, but things like, you know, youth camp safety legislation, that may be something that kind of falls as the redistricting debates continue.
Ashley, we're hearing, though, that this could take a long time. I mean, a lot of people thought maybe this would get done in this special session. This is a big problem to tackle, though.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever, and we've said this, you know, on this show before, I don't think we were ever going to see a substantial amount of legislation passed during this special session. Remember, the special session was called before the flooding even happened. And so there were always going to be other things that sort of not necessarily took precedence, but that were always also going to be on this list. But this is such a significant problem, such a big thing to tackle. You heard lawmakers say this week that it's going to be a while before they're able to put in legislation, actually get that legislation in place to do everything they want to do to prevent another tragedy.
And Bradford, in our remaining 30 seconds or so here, how tricky is this for Democrats? If they choose to leave this state in that redistricting battle to keep a vote from happening on that, and then, you know, flood measures come up, is that a risk to them that, you know, Republicans could turn that around on them and say, they left the state, we can't get this done?
It's a risk, but I think it's a risk worth taking, frankly. I mean, this is a unprecedented sort of mid-cycle redistricting, and it is distracting from the ostensible purpose of this, which is dealing with flood stuff. I mean, if you're going to you know, enter into this unprecedented time, then I think it's okay for Democrats to try and consider ways to bring attention to all of the problems that are happening right now in Austin.
A big thanks to our roundtable this week. And again, another welcome to the show to Bradford. Thanks so much, all of you, for sharing your insight on a busy week here in Texas politics. We're expecting another busy one ahead. So stay tuned. There's a lot more that's still to come on all of this. Thanks so much for watching this week. We will see you right back here again next week.